Well, hello and again, welcome to another edition of Biblical News Updates and Commentary. By now, I would imagine many of you are beginning to recognize the large demographic change that's occurring over there in Western Europe. Much of this is being driven by an enormous amount of Muslim refugees that are coming out of the Middle East, North Africa, and parts of Eastern Europe, moving and migrating westward, squatting and landing in countries such as Sweden, such as Greece and Italy, France and Belgium and Britain, and essentially affecting much of their social programs. As a matter of fact, many of the social programs of these countries, these Western European countries, are being overwhelmed with the demand to take care of these refugees that they're really, frankly, not prepared to take care of. And if that wasn't enough, many of these refugees are being connected with terrorist groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda, Hamas and Boko Haram by virtue of the proof that is acquired and obtained by police when they get a lead on a terrorist attack and they thwart it and they raid the apartment or they raid the house and they find all kinds of weapons, an arsenal of weapons and materials to build bombs and pictures and footage of potential targets that all of these particular people were thinking of possibly engaging in some kind of a nefarious act of terrorism. Cities like Cologne and Helsinki and Paris have all been victimized of these kind of attacks. Needless to say, my friends, Europe is changing right before our eyes. And so we have all of these millions of Muslim refugees coming in from these areas that I mentioned, like a civilian invasion that is actually jeopardizing and endangering the very indigenous people of those European countries. And there is a very sinister risk here that is really disturbing. And you know what it is? I've already mentioned it. It's terrorists, Islamic fundamentalists that are embedded in many of these Muslim refugee groups that are hidden in there. No vetting process is going to be able to identify them because, frankly, the papers that many of them are carrying, if they're carrying any papers at all, are oftentimes unable to be confirmed or legitimized or even checked against any kind of reference to prove that the paper is, in fact, legitimate. So that goes without saying. The fact of it is, terrorists have been proven to be embedded in this number of Muslim refugees coming out of the Middle East, North Africa, and Eastern Europe. And they are indeed Islamic fundamentalists. And I use that term for a special reason. Because, see, the press would want us to think that they're radicalized, that somehow these are extremists. My friends, they're not. They are Islamic fundamentalists. Islamic fundamentalists take the Quran for what it says. They take it literally. They look at the Quran as their mission statements, as their director of behavior, and they engage in the behavioral directives that the Quran tells them to. For instance, let me take a moment here to quote just one surah, just so that you understand what I'm talking about. Here in Surah chapter 8 and in verse 12, I quote, and we'll put it up there on the screen for you. I will cast terror. I will cast terror into their hearts of those who disbelieve. What that means is that's a message to the Muslim, to the jihadi, to the one who is basically a fundamentalist and taking this directive literally. He's obligated to put terror in my heart because I'm a disbeliever. I don't believe Muhammad was God's prophet and I don't believe Allah is God. So with that being said, he's obligated to put terror in my heart. It gets better. Notice this. Second sentence, same quote, Surah 8, verse 12. Here we go. Second sentence. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. Is it any wonder we see on the internet Christian men being marched along the shores of some inland lake over there in the Middle East, being forced to kneel down and then have their necks sliced with a knife and their heads taken off of their shoulders while they're being held by the hands of their terrorist murderers. Or people that are put in cages, husbands, wives, and children, alive, by the way, and literally drowned alive in these cages, or dissolved in muriatic acid, hydrochloric acid, while they're alive. Now, here in North America, we aren't seeing anything along those lines yet. We haven't seen the size and or scope of the influx of migration that has occurred that Europe is experiencing currently. Unfortunately, though, the fact of it is, North America, including Canada, by the way, has administrations presently in place that are soft on immigration. So what am I saying? Stay tuned, because it could change significantly. Oh, yes, that's right, my friends. It could change very significantly. As a matter of fact, it is not unrealistic to consider the reality that what we see going on in Western Europe could actually happen right here in North America, including Canada. I've got an interesting quote I want to share with you from Judicial Watch. I'd like to illustrate something for you that this credible source is confirming. And I'm quoting here from Judicial Watch. Herds of African immigrants are being housed in shelters in the Mexican border town of Tijuana while they await entry into the United States under what appears to be a secret accord between the Obama administration, Mexico, and the Central American countries the Africans transitioned through on their journey north. A backlog of African migrants is overwhelming limited shelter space in Tijuana, and Mexican officials blame the slow pace of the United States immigration authorities in the San Ysidro port of entry for granting only 50 asylum solicitations daily. That's right, they want to have the number increase. They would like to have more than 50. I continue in the quote. Authorities in Tijuana are offering support to migrants from El Congo, Somalia, Ghana, Pakistan, to facilitate entering the United States through the San Ysidro crossing. San Ysidro is the largest land border crossing between San Diego, California, and Tijuana. Now, my friends, this could just be the beginning. I mean, if you do the arithmetic, you're just talking about 18,000 people here at 50 people a day. Times, 7 days a week times 52 weeks on the year. But the fact of it is, this could just be the beginning, because the reality of it is, and I'm going to say something here, and I know some of you may say, oh boy, here he goes, he's going to enter politics into his discussion here. No, I'm just going to state facts for what they are. This is a nonpartisan fact that is just stating the truth of what has already been said by one of the candidates that is aspiring to be the president of the United States as we tape this program right prior to those elections in 2016. And that's Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton has stated publicly that she would like to increase the amount of immigrants, and that includes refugees from the Middle East, from North Africa, from the Eastern European nations that are indeed Muslim. She wants to increase them by 500+%. Now, you may say, well, Bill, what does that mean? What does that mean in real numbers? Well, in real numbers, what it means is if, in fact, and this year, 2016, the United States has approved 85,000 to 100,000 Muslim refugees to be allowed into the country. Well, you do the arithmetic. You multiply the 500 times that particular number, and you tell me what it is, because it is an outstanding number that if, in fact, a small percentage of those are indeed connected to terrorist groups. And this is the point. We then run the risk of increasing exponentially conditions like what happened in Orlando, the Fort Hood massacre, San Bernardino, that particular event that happened. We stand the chance of increasing those kinds of events exponentially by adding to also what we're already seeing going on in Western Europe. An interesting quote by Abraham Lincoln, almost now 180 years ago, he said this. It was in 1838. It was considered to be his Lyceum address. He was only 28 years old. He left his home area, the little old log cabin that he was brought up in, and went to Springfield to enter into his law partnership. But he mentioned a speech, and I would encourage all of you to get a copy. Google that speech, the Lyceum speech of Abraham Lincoln, done in 1838. It is quite a speech. And the reason it is so cogent to our 21st century situation here in the United States is because the United States at that time, believe it or not, in 1838, was going through similar conditions. Racial duress was on the increase in 1838. St. Louis had just been burned quite extensively, and the backdrop was very intense. There was a lot of tension in the air in the United States, from the New England states to Louisiana. There was tension, and there was anxiety. And President Lincoln said this particular statement in the course of that speech. It's just one small little section of it. And as I say, if you have the time, go ahead. It's a good read and certainly very cogent for our day-to-day today. But I just wanted to share this with you before I go on here. Let me quote Abraham Lincoln, 1838. He says this, "At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be the author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide." Look, what President Lincoln was saying in that speech back in 1838 is that if you're a free man, you know the value of freedom and liberty, and there is nothing but suicide as an option. Remember what our forefather Patrick Henry said back in 1775 when he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." He too knew the value. He knew the value of freedom and liberty. And that's why my hat goes off to all those that are in our military services, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, Special Ops, and all those that I really don't even know about who are protecting our country so that you and I may enjoy the freedoms that we are enjoying and are the beneficiaries of. All of us should give a very big applaud to all of those that are indeed risking their lives, putting themselves out in front, in jeopardy, in the front line to protect our rights and freedoms so that we may have the enjoyment that we have here in North America especially. But with all that being said, it is without a doubt, menacing circumstances are growing all around us throughout the world, existential dangers and threats to the whole Western civilization right now, my friends. And I don't want to be hyperbolous about this, but you can see it growing. If you look back and graph the terrorist attacks that occur going back into the 1970s, you could make a case of going back even further beyond the Iranian hostages in 1979, 1980. But I won't go any further than just that and come forward. You do the research and see what I'm talking about that culminated in the 9/11 attack of the Trade Towers and the Pentagon and that plane that went down, Flight 93, over there in Pennsylvania. All of that is a buildup, and it's not getting any better. It's not getting any better. We're here now, what, 15 years down since the 9/11 attack there in New York and in Washington, D.C., and it has only gotten worse. And as I'm saying here to you today, it is terrorism that is on the march. And the terrorism is driven not by radicals, not by extremists, but by Islamic fundamentalists, who are just doing what they believe in their heart of hearts Allah wants them to do. and that is to bring down Western culture. And we need to recognize that if in fact we allow terrorism to embed into our Western culture, if we allow this element to essentially weaken and divide our country, I make the case that we are setting ourselves up for a vulnerability of being invaded by an outside force that can invade. And there are nations out there that would be more than happy to invade a weak and divided United States of America. My friends, it is time for all of us to get really serious about our relationship with Jesus Christ and God. The time is upon us. And even if what I'm talking about doesn't occur for another 10, 20, or 30 years, and I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but regardless of whether or not the things that I'm alluding to would happen in your lifetime, regardless of that, the fact is you could die tomorrow. You could die before you even finish watching this particular edition of Biblical News Updates and Commentary. So turn with me for a moment over here to the book of Romans, and in chapter 13, I want to bring your attention to some words that the Apostle Paul mentioned that I think is very relative and cogent to our reasoning and our rationale, and I would appeal to you to let these words resonate with you. Romans 13, and in verse 11, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." My friends, it is high time that we get serious about our relationship with God and Jesus Christ. This world is truly spinning in a very chaotic way. And there are a lot of world leaders, quite frankly, that are not all that tightly wrapped out there. And I think you know who I'm talking about in respect to some of the rhetoric and some of the overtures of military prowess that's being expressed in some cases by their military forces. So with that being said, before we part, I want to make an offer to all of you, a free offer that we have for all of you today. All you've got to do is hit us on our website and request this booklet. And it is a booklet. It's probably about 90 pages long. It's a good read. But it is guaranteed to move you with a perspective. It's titled A World in Transition. It's a very comprehensive booklet. And it will provide you with some insight on prophecy that I guarantee you have never had. It's well worth the read and will certainly provide you a different perspective on just what is actually going on in our world today. So hit us on that website at www.cgi.org or email us at info@cgi.org. Give us a few weeks and we'll get this booklet out to you, A World in Transition. As I say, very good read. It will help you to focus your perspective and perhaps give you a different outlook on prophetic events that are now appearing to be developing all around us. My friends, this is Bill Watson again, inviting you back to another edition of Biblical News Updates and Commentary.